Lord, you have done great things in us. We praise you while sitting on an ash heap. You, the friend of our soul. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Everyone who has breath in him, tune in. Glory to Jesus. Yes, Jesus alone. This is all our wish and prayer also this afternoon. As the dry land needs the rain, so we need, as his people, the showers of blessing. And I believe he has done it until this hour. He has always blessed us. Especially also this morning, he blessed us richly. And for this we are very grateful. And he will also do it this afternoon. Have we all come in this expectation? Let no unbelief dwell in your heart. But let us all believe and trust and the hope that God can give more than we all expected. Now, before we worship him and asking him, I would like to read from Psalms 103 some verses. Let us stand up for it. Psalms 103, David calls out here, and we want to call out with him these words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Up to here, this word of God. Let us worship together. Faithful God, also we want, in this afternoon hour, give you again the praise and the glory and the worship. You have heard, Lord, our hearts are longing for the rain which comes from above and for the blessing which comes from you. For whom you bless, he is blessed, Lord. We worship you and we ask you, Lord, be with your people. You know what our hearts need. You know all our thoughts. Let us raise our thoughts toward you, Lord, that we give you the praise and the glory, and that we say like David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Only good things you have done for us, and for this we are so grateful, and we want to praise your name. Bless your people, all who have come, and also those who could not come, Lord. Bless for your name's sake all, and bless our brother who brings your word. Give grace to speak and to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, together we ask you for your blessing, for your word, for the leading of your Holy Spirit, for your presence. O Lord, our God, may your name be hallowed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us also today our daily bread. Feed us with your word. Give us of the hidden manna. O Lord, we thank you for great things you have done. I thank you for the testimonies which I heard already of that what you have done. Thank you. We expect also today great things from you. And we thank you that you are able to give more than we can ask and can believe. Come and help us. Do it now, Lord. Focus our view on you, the author and finisher of our faith. He who trusts in you cannot be put to shame. No, you are faithful. Even if we would get unfaithful, yet you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. Also us, your children, you cannot deny. You are Father over all what is called children. And we are children of God. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be thy name, Lord. You see my bodily condition, exhausted and weak. But we see you as the Almighty God. And your word has still today the same power. May you lay your spirit into your word and perform a mighty impact in all of us. To you, O God, we lay this service and we place it under the coverage of your blood, you, the Lamb of God. And we ask you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Remove all scatterings. Take away all troubles, all sorrows, everything what wants to hinder us, all own reasoning and thoughts, Lord. May you come to your right. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Also, this afternoon, we want to welcome everyone in the precious name of the Lord. Sometimes I have the impression that my brothers should come to the front. I just said it now to Brother Rus. I asked him, when will you go to the front? And I really wished it with all my heart that the Lord equips our brothers and that he can use them in a mighty way. With God, all things are possible. The Lord has at first called 12 and then 70 and then more and more he called and authorized them and sent them. He is still the same today. He could even come amidst the 7 deacons and 2 of them he equipped in a very special way, namely Stephen and Philip, and blessed them so richly that it is just written down and we are grateful. God takes whom He likes, when He will. He does what He wants to do, if we are just available for Him. I already expressed it in my prayer that I'm grateful for all the testimonies which one was told and hears when passing by. Especially glad I was when our brother from Wolfsburg told me, "Brother Frank, we are now here for the second time." But when we were recently here for the first time, the Lord has touched me and healed me suddenly of a sickness which lasted for 5 years and which was very terrible. For this we are grateful, and there are wonderful testimonies of that, what God has done. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are various ways which God can use, sometimes through laying on of hands, but it can also be in such a way that He sends His word and makes us well while we hear it and believe it. And then every private lesson is obsolete. We have then the connection with God and to God and receive what He has promised to us. In whatever way, whether laying on of hands, whether through anointing with oil, whether by believing while we sit, we can experience God. But also this we were told by Brother Branham. God always acts according to our faith. When people are here who have decided for themselves, or they say to themselves, "When hands are laid on me and when I'm prayed for, I will be well," then it happens exactly this way, because they believed that way. It always happens according to our faith. When somebody else has the conviction, "I will be healed," when the brothers anoint me with oil, then we can try 100 things. Nothing will happen. Only then, when it is acted according to the conviction and according to the faith of the person. It's just like that. These things were placed upon the personal foundation of faith. And should somebody believe that when the brother prays in a low voice, then there is no power, and then I will of course not be healed. But when the brother prays strongly, then there is power, and then I will be healed. That's how it is, 100%. When you then come and say in your heart, when the brother prays in a low voice, then there is no power, then I will not be healed. Then you will not be healed. It's just like that. We must understand this. Look, even in the days of Paul, there it was without loud and without quiet. There they believed that if one only could get the handkerchiefs with which he wiped his sweat and laid them on the sick, then they get well. And did it happen or not? It happened. Peter comes to Jerusalem. The people have heard that God uses him mightily. They were not even thinking with anointing with oil or laying on of hands, not on loud or not loud. They had only one thing in mind. If this man comes, the sun is shining, and if then his shadow comes and we lay the sick one after the other and his shadow comes upon them, then they all will be healed. Did it happen or not? Who wants to advise God? Who wants to stand around Him and say, "Lord, perhaps I may tell you how you shall do it"? our God works in such a manifold way, and nobody knows how he will do it today. But one thing we know, that today he will do great things. Blessed and praised be his name. I already referred a couple of times to my December Africa journey, which encouraged me in a wonderful way. And maybe it means so much to me as no other journey which I made now in the 20 years of my international missionary trips. God has just done wonderful and great things. Not only that thousands came to hear the word, but it was a breakthrough for the truth. It was a victory triumph of our God. And for this, I'm very grateful. You all know, although exhausted, tomorrow in Zurich, a day after tomorrow here, on Tuesday in London, I just couldn't cancel it. I had to agree. I actually wanted to postpone it, and I phoned. And the brother on the other side said, "This is impossible. You must come." And when I said, "I can't anymore," then he said something like that, "You don't have to walk. You will fly." That's how it is. And then there is no excuse. Then one just has to go on his way. Thanks be to our God for the hunger which he sends among his people. And we want to redeem the time. It's a precious time, an evil time, also a good time, a serious time, and a happy time. Do you know what I mean? Everything runs parallel. But important is that it doesn't go upside down. Praise and thanks be to our God. How glorious that we can be so relaxed in the presence of God. Some who are nigh to me, with whom I sometimes speak, they ask me, "How was Brother Branham as a human?" And then I tell them some things, and then they say, "Yeah, is it really been like this?" Yes, he was a man full of humor. I can't keep up with him. I have no humor at all. And he had probably too much of it. He was a happy man of God. But he was just as good a serious prophet who brought the word regardless of the consequences. But in the same way, he was not a fanatic. He could speak in every pulpit. I on purpose published a picture, or didn't I publish it, where he, with a turned around collar, preached in the great church in India. In the same church, I also preached. And I tell you, they have taken me into the sacristy, and they have grabbed the robe and the turned around collar and put it into my hands. "One moment, leave me for a moment alone." And when they walked out, I thought by myself, that's not possible. And I hanged it again on the hook, and I was waiting until it was so far. And when I was called, I came on the platform just as I came in. And God has nevertheless blessed. And they asked me then, "Why didn't you put on these things?" And I said, "It just didn't fit me." And I told the truth. I was holding these things before me. No, it didn't fit me at all. I didn't even need to try it. But Brother Branham was a bit more flexible in it. He thought by himself, to and fro, The people are now here and I want to be a blessing to them. How wonderful! A Paul, to the Romans he was a Roman, and to the Greek he was a Greek. He knew exactly what he had to preach when he was on that hill Ares in Athens. Precisely. He could tell them, I found here an inscription to the unknown God. And already he had his subject in his hand and said, this unknown God, him I know. He revealed himself to me. Him I preach unto you. And the people, they were all looking. This engraved writing in stone was for him the occasion for a whole sermon. You understand? Men of God can cope with every situation. If you meet somebody who says, the Lord has spoken to me, and he walks like as he would not see anyone anymore. The Lord has spoken to me. He doesn't even know where the Lord dwells and what his name is and how he speaks. A man to whom the Lord has really spoken remains the most normal and the most sober person who exists here on this earth. Do you all believe this? Most certainly. Some also marvel about that Brother Branham went hunting. They say, everything I can understand, but that he went hunting. Let him go. Can you understand that John the Baptist was eating locusts? We all would vomit. There our stomach would turn around. And can you understand that he was clothed with a camel skin and then with a leather girdle? And behold, he came on the scene in the wilderness. The scoffers, they could have said, there the camel walks. Yes. But those chosen by God, they didn't look on the outward things. Their hearts were tuned in. God called them. They didn't care how this man looks like. By the way, the skin protected him from cold and from heat likewise. And he could walk his way. God does things in an extraordinary way. He takes people who sometimes don't know themselves what they do, but they have to do it. And nevertheless, the Lord uses them as he planned it. Let us trust the Lord that he will reach his goal with us, and that he has sent us his word to make us well, to correct us, to reveal his will unto us, and to speak with us in these days. I have still two passages which I want to read from the sermon of Brother Branham. From the English, I will translate it into German. And then also some scriptures, just as the Lord will lead us. This afternoon, we have a biblical baptism. We have a biblical Lord's Supper. And we have a biblical foot washing. And whatever else can be biblical. But that what for us, who we have heard it year in, year out, this is probably not for all a matter of course. And now we have to place ourselves into the situation how somebody feels who is a total newcomer. He says to himself, these are all fine people. To deal with them is very pleasant. Hospitality is also okay, But there are things with which we can't cope with. And I say this here now on purpose. Whoever reads in the old Lutheran hymn book, right in the front, what Luther said about water baptism, or in particular about them who were baptized, namely by immersion, whom he then called Anabaptists. He gets really frightened when he hears that here people get baptized again. He literally said, "Let the Anabaptists be cursed." It's written in the front of the old Lutheran hymn books. Now just place yourself into the situation of a man who didn't hear anything else and who probably Easter and Pentecost and Christmas and maybe once or twice in between had this songbook of the great man of God in his hands, and he reads once again, "Cursed be the Anabaptists." In the end, it goes through your bones and marrow. And if one then hears, "Oh, there they baptize people again. My goodness. Oh, oh," then the heart falls to the ground. But here it is not about what Martin Luther said, John Wesley, William Booth, or some Russell, or who they were, or Ellen White, or who they were. Here, it is simply about what God has said and commanded us in His Word, and what was left unto us in the Holy Scripture as a vindicated truth. And this I tell you, if the men of God would be here today, they would speak the same biblical language which we speak today. In their time was just the beginning, the moving ahead, but of course not the completion. It was the greatest what could happen then, that the justification by faith was put upon the lampstand, and that Luther and also the other reformers discovered the Antichrist and have come out. This was already something very great, but God didn't stand still there. This was the first step, and so it continued from clarity to clarity and from truth to truth. Even then, however, there were people like a Schwenkfeld who came on the scene and said, "If at all it is tidied up, then properly." And he already preached the biblical water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ already then. Already then. In Geneva, the man from Spain, Servetus, came on the scene and preached the Godhead as it is written here in this book. And what happened? He had to give his life in Geneva with the consent of the reformers. At least they kept quiet about it. Voices were always raised unto a Jan Hus, who was then burned at the stake in the city of Constance. But then came the time where nobody could stop anymore what God decided in His plan. And so, we are grateful to the Lord that we can experience this spiritual development and that we can say yes to it. Just imagine if we would have been earthly retarded and I would drive today with a horse wagon through this city. The people would say, "Man of God, who are you anyway? Did you miss the time or the connection to the time?" And truly, I would be fetched from the street because the people would see that I have missed somehow the time. Today, one drives with a car, with a plane you fly, the time advanced. Earthly, we went all with, oh, we profit so much of the technical progress. And especially when I think on our friends from Czechoslovakia and from the German Democratic Republic and from some other Eastern countries, when they come here, oh, then they look, oh, we don't even dare to dream of it. They have paradise, yes, and we have what is in it. And one sees the difference. What do I want to say with it? I want to make something clear with these earthly examples. There are countries that are retarded. And this, please pardon me, especially ye beloved, from the German Democratic Republic. But I really became aware of it when I drove from the capital of the German Democratic Republic to Poland. And behold, in all the years since the Second World War, this high system did not manage to build a second line on the highway. The bridges were built for two lines, but only one line was built. Even today, this one line is finished, and on the second one, trees are growing and all kinds of things. The bridges are finished, and the street was not built during all these years. I thought by myself, what a difference between two states which are one people. There, a bit retarded, here, from the Danish border up to the Austrian or Switzer border, not one stop sign, not one traffic light. One drives and drives and drives. And there you don't drive. What do I want to say with it? Spiritually seen, many people are retarded. Not only nations, but now I'm asking you, who is retarded? There, where there is oppression, where one cannot develop freely, there they are retarded. Let me transfer this here to the spiritual. There, where God can develop freely according to His word amongst His people, there is no standstill and no setback. There is a progress. And thus, we have to also see it in the spiritual. The Lord God has given a progress, and we may see this spiritual progress and may have part in it, walking forward with the Lord. If we now address the biblical water baptism, then we don't hurt anyone with it. But nevertheless, we want to say here the truth. There is only one Lord, one faith, and only one baptism. I can read it to you from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, perhaps verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And now we come straight to the administering of baptism, namely to the beginning of the book of Acts. Here it says in chapter 2 from verse 38, Acts 2 from verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In verse 41 it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Baptism is baptism. Sprinkling of infants is sprinkling of infants, and has nothing in common with God and his word. One has to say that once. In Mark chapter 16, the Lord has given us the great commission. Blessed is he who can believe what is written here. Mark chapter 16, here we read from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did you read with me? He that believeth and is baptized. According to Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing. So, firstly, it should be preached, and the faith which comes up by the preaching leads to the point that the people in obedience are baptized. Romans chapter 10, here it says from verse 8. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8. But what says it, the scripture? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The preaching of the gospel is the condition for a biblical faith. And that man, of whom we have many songs in our Pentecostal hymn book, one who was used by God at the turn of the century in a special way, Jonathan Paul, he has made a confession on his deathbed. And he said, I regret it that I was not baptized biblically. A man who emphasized very much the sanctification, probably more than John Wesley. A man who could say, he mentioned the years, and he wrote in his testimony that he was sanctified through and through, that he didn't make any mistakes, neither in mind nor in word or deed, during a number of years. that he has lived a life of victory and of overcoming, about which the brothers of a Lutheran denomination just said, this is impossible. And this man testified many years to have not sinned, neither in thoughts, nor in words, nor in the deed. And although so holy, so pure, probably even before God in his heart, and yet he didn't learn the ABC of a believer. Didn't Brother Branham clearly preach, you can be saved without being sanctified? You can be sanctified without being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if all this runs together in harmony and finds its place in our faith life, then we have what God has promised unto us in a full measure. So, not earthly examples are shown to us here. People whom God used and blessed, we think on many who were really blessed by God. But the time was not come. They lived with God. They walked with God. But the days of the divine restoration and of the gracious visitation were not yet come. The last generation, the prophetic time period for the church was not yet come. So, they served the Lord according to the light and clarity which they had. Today, it looks a bit differently. We are not living in the days of Reformation or in the centuries which followed, but at the end of the time of grace, where the Church of the Living God must be restored into its original condition, where the apostolic doctrine, where the proclamation and the practice comes again into effect as it was in the early church. This is the difference. We are not even judging these people. And God does not even impute this to these people. But now he lets all people know that the time of ignorance is now of the past, and that this is the day which God made to give us total clarity about everything by his grace. And with this, also this question is already answered. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is not one scripture which would tell us that people brought children to the Lord and that he baptized them. No, they were brought to the Lord so that he blesses them. And the same we do even today. We bring our children to the Lord so that he blesses them. But then the word must come to them. They must make their decision for Jesus, and then also walk the step of obedience by being baptized. That's how we read it. He that believeth and is baptized. The Bible doesn't know anything of godparents. Oh, sometimes it's so sad. I just hope that people don't feel attacked personally. When we mention these things, then of course with a deep pain in our soul. At that time, Martin Luther wrote a book about the end of the church in the Babylonian captivity. If we believe that the end of the Babylonian captivity has come, then let us believe that all who have heard the call of God also come out of this Babylonian captivity, and that they place themselves upon the ground of the Word of God. For the Lord will not change His Word. It remains by that what He said. In the book of Acts, we have a number of teachings or reports which are available for us. In chapter 19, from verse 5, we read the story of Paul in Ephesus when he met there some men who were baptized earlier with the baptism of John. I read Acts 19, verse 5 and 6. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. These men were baptized by the same man who baptized Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. The same man who baptized Jesus Christ in the River Jordan. The same man baptized these 12 disciples. And then we would all say, "Dear Paul, I want to let you know that we there were baptized by the same man who baptized the Lord. Paul, do you mean to say that this baptism is not valid? It suited the Lord. Why should it not suit us?" No arguments, nothing at all. Paul proclaimed the counsel of our God and said, "John baptized for repentance, but now ye must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Not that sins are forgiven by baptism." This some misunderstood. The forgiveness of sins happened through the blood of the Lamb which was shed on the cross of Calvary. But as a confirmation of faith that we accepted the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, we are baptized as a step of obedience and faith, which we may do in the presence of God. This must be very clear. Not forgiveness of sins by baptism, but forgiveness of sins by the shed blood of the Lamb. And all who received forgiveness, they, as a proof that their sins were forgiven, they let themselves be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this clear? The amen was not loud enough. The next time I take you to Africa, but only if you pay your ticket yourself. Beloved, for me these are all precious biblical truths. In water there is no forgiving power. The power of forgiveness is in the blood. In the blood was the divine life, and the divine life was given for us so that we receive divine life. But obedience is necessary, for disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. And here we come to the point which is described in Revelation of this great world church, which made the whole world drunk with the cup of her spiritual fornication. Even the kings and all have drunk of it and have become mad and don't find the way of God. Whoever wishes can continue to drink from the cup of Rome, but then leave the cup of blessing alone. We cannot drink of the cup of blessing and on the other hand nip again of the cup of Rome and then nicely letting the thing flow down. Ye, my people, come out and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. If somebody thinks this is fanatic, all right, then God is a fanatic, for this not a man said, this the Lord himself said. I don't want to go further here into this subject. It was said clear enough. It is written clear enough. Whoever still needs to be begged to do what the Lord commands us, I don't know whether the fruit is ripe already. Then we just have to leave it up to God. Until the individual lets himself be convinced by him through his word and through his spirit. But should you still be in an inner battle, then we would like to help with counsel and deed and with the help of God, so that we are all pulled out from everything what is unbiblical and letting ourselves be purified and sanctified in the word of truth. May today, at this place, in all who are not yet baptized biblically by a single immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may they today recognize that it is necessary, and may it be fulfilled in them what we read from the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Whoever doesn't receive it does not need to be baptized. He can then continue to walk on his own ways. But he who receives in reverence the word, him the Spirit of God will convict and convince and will be baptized biblically. The baptism we administer here in conformity with that what the apostles did in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the name which is in connection with our redemption. This is the covenant name of God the Lord in the New Testament, as Yahweh was the covenant name of God the Lord in the Old Testament. And Jesus said, baptize them in the name, not in the titles. I could have many titles. I can be father and son and preacher and teacher and evangelist. I could be many things, but my name is already since my father's and grandfather's time. Frank. Jesus said, Father, I have declared unto them thy name. Keep them in thy name, which you have given me. Father, hallowed be thy name, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. You would be astonished, even all who left Rome, they packed in the old formula nicely and took it with them. I will not forget it. It's just a couple of weeks ago on my flight from Abidjan, Ivory Coast, to Lagos. We were sitting with three people in a row in the plane, and I sit always at the aisle. Whoever sits next to me, I don't know before that. And there sat a woman and a man. The man was a diplomat from the UN and spoke English from Senegal. And the woman was from Lagos. And I took out my Bible. I was reading. And suddenly she asks, are you a Christian? I said, of course. And she says, me too. And then it goes even further. I said, that pleases me. And she says, yes, I belong to the church of the cherubim and seraphim. I had to wake up first. And I asked, one moment, sister. I was already a few times in Lagos. I have seen the prophets walking in a white robe on the seashore. They take turns from morning to evening. And I've seen some things, even the New Jerusalem I've seen, many things I've seen there. But I said, this is new to me. Have you never heard of our prophets and of the 12 apostles who are 12 angels and so forth? I said, sister, no, but I don't care either. And then only we came into the conversation. I said, sister, one thing I want to ask you. Tell me, how do you baptize? Oh, she says, we baptize three times. We baptize three times. In the name of the Father, and then we lift up the person. And then in the name of the Son. And I said, and this is the church of the cherubim and seraphim? Yes, this is the church. I said, but not the church of Jesus Christ. And then we, of course, came into a very short conversation. There you have it. They all came out from Rome and fall prey to false prophets who led them into new spiritual prisons, and they are deceived even today. Thanks be to the Lord for the clarity. Also, this might be again a point which we don't fully understand yet. How precious should be to us all these biblical truths, right or not? And what do we do with it? As today, or when was it? In the midst of the sermon, the brother was yawning. This he can set aside until tomorrow morning. When we hear the word of God, then we hear God's word, and then everything gives way. Here God speaks with us and wants to let us know, all who hear my voice shall take to heart what they are told. Do we know how long time will last? Do we know whether such an opportunity still comes? I don't know it. I hope so. But the time will one day be over. It started and it will have an end. Today, all should understand that there is only one Lord, one faith, and only one baptism, namely the baptism of them who by faith in the Lord have accepted their salvation. This is the connection. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. These three things belong together. Why should we be ashamed of the name of the Lord, which means so much for us? There is no other name under heaven given among people except the name of Jesus, by which we must be saved. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise be unto the name of the Lord. May this now suffice. And we ask all who are probably in doubt that they come for a conversation and for prayer, so that nobody would be left behind. If you anyhow decide the other way, then we must leave it up to you. And we hope that the Lord nevertheless will have his way with you. Let us now stand up for prayer. Perhaps we sing the chorus, "Just as I am." May I ask that all who would like to be baptized, that they come now to the front. We sing the chorus once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you still call people in this last time, in the last hour. You are out to look for people, and you find your own, and they hear your voice, and they may follow you. Lord, I pray, give grace, especially these young people, that they can walk with you in this last time and in this hard time. You will give them strength. You will be with them, Lord. This is my prayer for them, Lord, and for all who make today this step of baptism. You will bless them, and you will prove to them to be the same who you were from the beginning. To your name be the glory, and the praise, and the worship. Give now grace, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.